Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in 1 Samuel chapter number 21, if you are following along. And we are all the way down in verse number 8. David has arrived at a place called Nob. The priest is there. That's where the tabernacle is currently residing. And David has made a strange request. He's asked for the priest to take the bread from the table of showbread and give it to him and to some of his travel companions. And that would seem to be a violation of the law. And yet David has convinced the priest that the human necessity has taken precedence over the dictates of the law. And Jesus affirms this in Matthew chapter 12. But all while this is happening, there's a man there, an employee of Saul's. As a matter of fact, he's the chief herdsman, the chief shepherd, who is watching. And that's a little foreshadow of something we're going to see in a couple of episodes. So here we are in verse number 8, where the Bible says, "And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." How ironic that David has had to flee from Saul, weaponless, without food. He gets to a place where the very food he eats is food offered upon the table of showbread, really signifying the fellowship and communion that David has with the Lord. And then the weapon he now receives is the very sword of Goliath, the very sword that the last time David held it cut off the head of the Philistine giant.
And when I read this passage of scripture, Pastor, it's always such, so, you know, just interesting to me to see how God brings us back to Goliath's sword. You know, this is not by happenstance, obviously. And to David, you know, when he sees that sword, it would have been a great reminder to David about how that God had used him. David's going through some dark days right now, but just, yeah, I think even just seeing that sword would have been a memorial to him about the goodness of God in his life.
Mm-hmm. I would say as well that sword signified a time in David's life when he was by himself and he had to take a stand by himself, and God showed up, and now he's by himself again. And yet what's there? Goliath's sword to remind him again that all I really need is God. Now, what has he just eaten? He's eaten the bread that had been offered to God, almost as if God is saying, I fellowship with you. David, you have me. You have my provision. You have my protection. That's what bread is. It's provision. That's what the sword is. It's protection. God is on the throne. And David's running. David has lost everything. And yet God is on the throne.
You know, these were great reminders to David about how God has worked in his life and how he can trust God. And really going to, we're going to see it in a moment here, as David goes to Gath, it's not the most wise decision in the world to do that. And yet sometimes when people are on the run, they don't always use the best wisdom as they run. But it's interesting to see how David responds even when he gets into hardship here.
It is interesting. And I think sometimes we read a little bit too much into the wares. You know, our job in life is not so much to control where we go as much as it is to control why we do what we do. Because the Bible promise is that if in all of our ways we acknowledge the Lord, he's going to direct our paths. And we find that you know, David did make bad decisions here and there, just like you and I do. But God was so faithful in directing his paths. Look at verse number 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And again, the irony is dripping. He has the sword of Goliath, who's from Gath, and he runs. And no doubt David is thinking, I've got to go someplace where Saul can't follow me.
I'm sure that's when it was when his was is in his mind. And we see that actually later on in David's life again. We'll see this more than once where David runs out of the country, thinking if I go out of the country, then Saul won't be able to touch me. And then I'll be able to have some respite and get some relief. I'm sure that's what David's thinking. I can run there. I can be safe. This is a good plan right now.
And, you know, it's not wise. And we know that. But it is a little bit courageous to think, I'm going to march into town. A sword, everybody would know that sword. Yeah, what was David's rationale? We can't be dogmatic where the Bible is silent, but I don't know what his rationale was. What did David, how did David think people would respond to his approach with Goliath's sword?
That's a great question, because you're right. There's no sword like it. People would know, hey, this is the sword of Goliath, and this is the giant killer. I don't know what Dave was thinking, but certainly people are going to respond as you would expect they would when they see David come in.
Look at verse number 11. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Interesting. Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? So they came to Achish, and the people are like, King, I mean, do you know who this is, right? This is the king of the land. We know that he's going to be the king. We know what the people have said about him. We know. It's interesting. They didn't reference Goliath's sword, but they referenced what they knew to be true about David.
You know, I think one thing about them, too, is David had led military excursions into Philistia a number of times. And so, you know, Saul had done this to try to get David killed. What it actually does is it even caused the people more to realize, hey, this is David. You know, they know he's a great warrior. You know, they think, hey, he has all this power in that country. He's the one leading the army in and out. And so David has become more well-known by the enemy even because of all the exploits God has used him to do over the last few years as he's led the army in and out.
And God has to have used this in the lives of the Philistines to even create more respect for David. Like, who would actually do this? You'd march into the enemy camp, be surrounded by those that were related to the champion you killed, and there you are. Look at verse number 12. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. It's almost as if David made this knee-jerk decision, and then when he got there and was surrounded by, then he realized, oh, wait a minute, what have I gotten myself into?
It's like he goes from the frying pan right into the fire, where he was fearful of Saul. But now, again, we don't know what David thought, but things certainly don't turn out like he thought they would have, because now he's so afraid of Achish, and he thinks his life may be in jeopardy here.
I wonder how many times in our own lives, my friends, and take a moment and think about this, where you've made a knee-jerk decision in fear, in desperation, didn't have many options, so you just kind of jumped at one, and then what seemed to be so wise in the initial moment, when you actually followed through with that decision, you thought, man, what have I gotten myself into? And this is the case where David got himself into something that it really doesn't look like he has a way out. It's like the situation he was in, Saul's chasing me, but at least I'm in a safe place here temporarily. I'm going to run from Saul, but he ran to get away from the snake. He ran into the rat's nest. I don't know if that's a good illustration. To escape the tiger, he went into the lion's den. That might be better, but I think what you said, he went from the frying pan to the fire.
Yeah, David did. You know, it is interesting, Pastor, as we go through David's life, you'll sometimes look at the Psalms he pens that we know from the Psalm titles when they were in relation to his life. And I encourage our listeners, sometimes take out your Bible, look at Psalm 56 and Psalm 34, and we find in both of those great things that David says. As we read in a moment here, it's going to seem like David is dependent upon his own ingenuity. But David will do what he can, but David's dependence is upon God ultimately. We find that in those two Psalms. I think it's Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And David gives us some great Psalms born out of this experience when it seems like all things are going the wrong way. But David does depend upon God, and he does know that God can deliver him.
We're going to come back to a couple of verses in both of those Psalms in a bit. Psalm 34, of course, is a psalm that many of you have memorized, at least portions of. And both of these psalms were written after the events of what we're just going to read now. So 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 13. So here's David's reaction to his fear. Hey, I'm in this situation. I'm a dead man. I'm surrounded. Verse 13, and he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands. He acted like a crazy man. He scrabbled on the doors of the gate. He let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So David, as a last-ditch effort, acts like he's crazy. He's mentally deranged.
Yeah, David does. And David, what David hopes is going to happen is what does happen is, you know, Achish says, I don't need a crazy guy here. You know, get him out of here. You know, back in this time, a man who was in his right mind would not let his spittle fall down into his beard. I mean, David's acting like a maniac. You know, when I see this pastor, I think, you know, David is doing what he thinks he can do to help himself out. And I often look at this as our responsibility and God's providence in our life. Mm. You know, David is doing what he can to help himself out. But we know from the Psalms we talked about a moment ago, his trust is not in what he is doing. Ultimately, his trust is in God. And that comes out so clearly in those two Psalms.
It really does. And we'll go back to Psalm 34 in closing, where it says, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. So David is now instructing. He gives his testimony in verses 1 through 7. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And just as you said, you know, it says in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. In other words, David said, I feel like I'm surrounded by the Philistines. And yet when he got himself into a God place and trusted God, he realizes, no, it is God that's surrounding me. It seems as if my problems surround me, but no, God's surrounding my problems. Oh, taste and see. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. And he goes on and on to talk about God hears, his eyes see, and David learned. And you might say, was some of this David's fault? No doubt. No doubt David made some knee-jerk decisions that were unwise, just like you do, just like I do. And that did not preempt him, though, from saying, God, I'm going to trust you. You're where my bread is buttered. I need you. I'm trusting you. Save me. And that's exactly what God did.
You know, I love that about David. That's one of the things I think why he's a man for God's own heart is sure, David made some bad decisions like everybody does. But in contrast to Saul, who when he made bad decisions, Saul tried to explain them away and would not turn to God. David turned back to God and said, God, I trust in you. My trust is not myself. I trust in you, God. I know that you are my shield. And that really makes David just a great man of God. Because even when he made unwise decisions sometimes, he still got back where he needed to be and said, hey, look, my trust is in God. Even in the midst of this scenario right now, I'm trusting in God, not myself. And what a great example he is.
When David faced bad people, he trusted in God. When David got himself into bad situations, he trusted in God. And even when David made bad decisions, he allowed even his own bad choices to cause him to say, God, I need to trust you. And that would be a good resource for you and me today. Just trust the Lord. He's got your back. Well, I hope that helps today. We're done with another chapter. Looking forward to hopping into chapter number 22 next episode. Hope you have a great day, my friends. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.